You're listening to Omnigonian, a news podcast from the Oswegonian. I'm your host, William Rogers. Shinnimin Planetarium has been able to continue showing Sunday planetarium shows virtually this semester. The current show is the constellations of Fall, Mars, Jupiter, and Saturn, and showcases autumn constellations such as Cassiopeia, Andromeda, Perseus, and Pegasus, and the planets Mars, Jupiter, and Saturn. For a link to the show, please visit our website at oswegonian.com. Campus Technology Services is celebrating National Cybersecurity Awareness Month through a series of online and virtual events. This year, the events will focus on the dark web and the dangers that come with it. On October 28th, SUNY Oswego's School of Communication, Media, and the Arts will virtually host the 16th annual Lewis B. O'Donnell Media Summit. The theme this year is On the Front Lines with the First Amendment, with discussions centered around the Black Lives Matter protests, the COVID-19 pandemic, and the 2020 presidential election. Matt Watling, our managing editor, was able to sit down and talk with two guests of the Media Summit this year. Our first guest is Alif Karim, the sports director at WDVM-TV in Hagerstown, Maryland. While at Oswego, he worked at WTOP-10-TV as on-air talent, hosting hockey broadcasts as well as working as a sports anchor. Karim will be one of six career connectors offering advice to SUNY Oswego students looking to enter various aspects of broadcasting, journalism, and other communications fields.
I'll kind of start with, when you were a student, what was sort of your involvement or your experiences with the Media Summit?
So the Media Summit has always been something I've seen as sort of a benchmark of sorts with the panelists, with career connectors that would come. I remember my first Media Summit was the Media Summit Al Roker had been, and the Today Show had their segment in the morning, that morning. So really, really early, just the entire campus center filled with students, and Al Roker's there with his energy. So that's my first memory of my first Media Summit. And since then, the topics have always been, thankfully, pertinent, present, and mindful of what exactly the media climate looks like. And that's just the people that are speaking as panelists that are providing their input and their opinions. But outside of that, you know, the ability to connect with career connectors and be able to speak to people that have either gone through what you're going through or have gone through similar situations and are in situations that you want to find yourselves in, you know, whether it's jobs that they have or career paths that they're following or even hobbies that they may have adopted that have helped them in their career paths. So for me, my Media Summit experience has always been to look at that as, okay, well, this is where I want to be. How do I get there? While also realizing that everyone's path is different, of course.
And then I guess kind of going right into that, how did Oswego and maybe the Media Summit help you with your career and kind of finding that first job or giving you the tools to do that?
Definitely. So the biggest part for me has always been the career connectors, just being able to speak with someone face-to-face candidly about, you know, things about their career, things about their personal lives that have helped them in their careers, challenges in honest conversation. What exactly do you need to do or do you need to expect to overcome as you're pursuing an industry career, whether it's, you know, the broadcasting industry, whether it's newspaper, radio, anything in comms, media, or the arts, basically. I have a distinct memory of Ben Amy, who at that time was a reporter in, I believe, Albany or Rochester, New York. But he had very openly told me things that I needed to hear at that time because I had asked him specifically about the kind of look that you need for an on-air talent, which I'm thankful enough to have an on-air talent job. And he was very open about, here's what you need to do, here's what you have right now, here are some things that can help you get there in terms of what you need to do for your reel. And I just remember, you know, not discrediting what I've learned in my classes, but no one has ever told me, exactly as a, you know, given me a blueprint almost as to what to work off. So, and that's just one example I can think of out of many that I've had the opportunity with because of the Media Summit.
Right. And then I guess kind of looking now to the theme of the Media Summit, and you're more of a career connector, but I'll ask you, being a journalist kind of on the ground, what was your reaction to some of the treatment of journalists during COVID times, during the Black Lives Matter protests, and kind of the overall theme of the First Amendment?
Yeah, so that's interesting because, you know, as we discussed this particular topic, I remember seeing a headline, I believe, either this morning or yesterday about Amy Coney Barrett and her hearing and how she couldn't list off the five liberties granted by the First Amendment. And I think a lot of what is happening in our world right now, if we're talking strictly from a journalism standpoint with that lens, we do have to consider how much social media and digital media in general has affected the way journalists operate and has affected the way you build relationships, either with sources or with communities. So there's that to consider, right, from a strictly journalism lens. And when you talk about the traumatic events that the nation has gone through, whether it's the pandemic, the ongoing pandemic, and also the Black Lives Matter movement that captured everyone's eyes early in the pandemic as well, I think what you've seen based off the treatment of journalists is a lot of almost mistrust at points, because the media environment itself allows for, I guess, people to build their own worlds in a sense, right? You can fine-tune your algorithms through your social media apps to be able to confirm your worldviews. But journalism has inherently always been not just to, in my opinion, not just to show both sides, but to also point towards the right direction, basically by giving context of what both sides stand for. And I think the problem right now is, not just from a journalism standpoint, but really from a media consumption standpoint, is people can alter their messages how they choose to influence any such audience. And I think right now, because of that, tying back into journalism, it's important, it's utmost important right now for those of us pursuing careers in journalism to realize transparency is a bigger conversation we have to have with our communities, in my opinion, of course, and just in general, really understanding that the nature of how journalism is done has changed. But it's changed for the better. A lot of people will say maybe it's gone down. I don't necessarily think so. I've met a lot of honest journalists, and I see a lot of honest journalism work being done to hold people and organizations that are in power accountable. And that is what we need to do in a world that is consistently being shaken at its core based off of previous prejudices and assumptions that have already been made about whether it's sex of people or religions or cultures or just structures in general.
Right. And then I guess kind of going more to your job in sports, how have you kind of experienced, or how has your job changed because of COVID, whether it be early on when there maybe wasn't sports to cover, and then even now where you might not get the same access?
Yeah. So, I mean, that's the biggest thing is, I remember my first memories of this pandemic is, I believe March 12th, when sports essentially was shut down, when you had that domino effect of what happened with Rudy Gobert and then the NBA and then following sports professional leagues and then obviously the March Madness tournament. So at that point, immediately for me, there was a conversation with my news director about what sports would do. And at that point, our sports department had been converted, all of us, into providing news content. We were essentially all turned into news multimedia journalists. And you could see that across the board in local sports. And to me, that isn't necessarily a bad thing, because at the end of the day, yes, my job is to cover sports, to be a sports journalist, but the emphasis there is not on sports. The emphasis there, which the pandemic highlighted as well, was on the journalist word, specifically proving that we can be journalists. Our job isn't just to shoot games and give you scores at the end of highlights. Our job is to tell you stories in the community that matter. And I believe sports does an incredibly good job of that, whether it's highlighting the underdog story or whether it's highlighting people in positions of power that need to be held accountable for the safety of student athletes or for the safety of athletes in general. And I think because of what the pandemic caused by diminishing sports coverage, it allowed for a lot of people to kind of flex their fingers and their arms in the journalism aspect of their jobs. And I think you saw a lot of great storytelling. So to me, I think it was good and bad. I mean, yeah, it sucked not having sports for a bit, but it was really good being able to truly grow as a storyteller.
And then my last question is, I guess, kind of a little tease going into the Career Connectors event. Do you have any small little tidbits of advice that you'd like to share now looking forward from some students trying to find a job?
Oh, man. I mean, the job market right now is so crazy. Even people that are in the industry right now can't really think about much mobility because it's almost stagnant at a point. To me, I want to go back to the point I mentioned earlier about media consumption. And the advice that ties into that is really think about how people in general right now are consuming content. And think about how content itself is changing, right? Me being a local sports journalist at a TV station, that is one way of entering sports journalism, or that is one way of entering sports broadcasting. But based off of everything we've seen from major brands, based off of everything we've seen from even major organizations and franchises, there are different ways to be able to cover sports or tell sports stories. And I think it's up to all of us to kind of ask ourselves, how do we want to do that? And I think a bigger question underneath that is, what kind of a storyteller am I? Am I the type of person that is extremely personality driven, or am I the type of person that loves simply the act of conversation? So then you might have to ask yourself, you know, based off of that, can I go into more of a poppier, graphics heavy, for example, kind of highlight reel of sorts, or can I go into the podcast route? So there's different ways of approaching the job market, and the job market itself is always evolving. You can see and you can hear from people about sports departments being cut down, you know, resources being cut down, and that's strictly just local television that I'm thinking of that I can only speak of. But the job market itself and the way to cover sports will always be there. There will always be an outlet for it. There will always be a market for it. But I think right now we have an added responsibility of thinking, how can we enter this market by still being ourselves? And to that, I don't really have an answer, but the advice is just persevere. The answers eventually all come to us. We all run into our answers, but we just have to keep running.
Our next guest is Michelle Garcia, editor at NBC, overseeing NBC BLK. While studying at Oswego, she studied journalism and was the editor-in-chief at the Oswegonian. She will be one of the panelists discussing the First Amendment and the major headlines of 2020.
Transcribing, I should say. We'll kind of start with you coming back to Oswego as a panelist. What does it mean to you being an Oswego grad? Does that kind of add an extra special wrinkle into the mix?
Oh, totally. Yeah, I was, so I tweeted something over the weekend, and I remember the first media summit, and, you know, Ben Bradley came to our school to talk to us, and, David Folkenflik from NPR, you know, great media reporter, you know, they were at our school talking to us. I was a senior, and I was, you know, I was the editor-in-chief of the Oswegonian myself, and I really was growing into my love of journalism at the time, and I, you know, for me to be able to see these people, you know, and it was a full panel of amazing journalists, but to be able to see them and talk to them and listen to them talk about the journalism that they do, the work that they do, and the incredible quality of work. You know, I mean, Ken Auletta was on the panel, another esteemed alum who has been a longtime reporter at The Atlantic and The New Yorker. I was just like, oh my goodness, like, that's a goal, is to be back up on that stage. So I came back for the media summit in 2015, actually. I was on the panel, and that was really exciting. And so to come back again, I feel really honored to be asked to come back. you know, even if it's not in person. it really is an honor to come back and to connect with students and to share the knowledge that we've built over the last, you know, over our careers. For me, it's been 14 years of being a professional post-college journalist. So, you know, I feel even more, a little more wise and a little bit more ready to share whatever I need to share.
Right. And I guess going back to when you were a student here, was it, you already found that love you kind of mentioned, but did it almost inspire you to see these people, and did it make it feel more attainable? Did it inspire you to push extra hard at the Oswegonian and to, you know, make, to break that extra story, or even now in your career, being able to reflect back and see what they talked about and using that as whether it be motivation or reinforcement saying you can do this? Did it kind of have that sort of impact on you as a student?
I think for me, the impact was to see these huge names in journalism and think like, those are my future colleagues, you know, like I could be working at the Washington Post. I could be working at NPR or the Atlantic or the New Yorker. Like it made these huge esteemed places feel actually, you know, feel real to me in a way. As a student, I think the takeaway was kind of like, you know, yeah, I guess the takeaway was really more excitement, you know, the excitement of witnessing the event itself, you know, like that was the fun part. I remember it felt kind of like, it was like, I can't even describe it. It was like Coachella for nerds, you know, like that's what it felt like. And we used to call each other, the Oswegonian staff, we used to call each other news nerds. And, you know, it was just like all these huge, you know, greats in our industry, you know, and it kind of was like, wow, I can't believe that we get to like see these people live on a stage. I mean, especially since, you know, Ben Bradley has since passed, you know, and, it kind of makes it even more special is like, we were able to kind of like, we studied as journalism students, we studied the Pentagon Papers, we studied Watergate. I'm on a like a meeting kind of a thing for work. Anyway, I can't even remember what I was saying now.
About studying the Pentagon Papers and all that. It's totally okay.
Oh yeah, and then to be able to see, you know, Ben Bradley in front of us talking about how he helped orchestrate that as the editor. Personally, I am an editor. I've been an editor like since my days at the Oswegonian. I see my skill set as being like somebody who can help manage people and help writers grow into their, you know, into their best reporting selves in a way, you know? Mm-hmm. So that to me was kind of like that guy, like that's the guy, that's what I want to do, you know? So yeah, if anything, like that, I think was the thing that I remember the most is how excited we were for these people to come to our school and to talk to us about the work that they do in a really high level way. It wasn't just kind of like career day. It was like, you know, who were they talking about? It was actually kind of similar to what this conversation is going to be about, the First Amendment. Their conversation was about trusted media, which, you know, 15 years later, we're still talking about that and probably in an even more acute way. So, you know, yeah.
Right. And I guess kind of talking on the topics from this year, it's interesting where there's almost three separate avenues to go about kind of connecting back with COVID-19, the Black Lives Matter movement and the protests, and then also just the election itself. What kind of excites you the most about either one of the three topics or just the event itself being on that panel?
I think what I've been thinking a lot about lately, and not just for the panel, but just, you know, the last couple of years, has been the ways that people tie together the idea of free speech and free expression and how that ties into misinformation. And of course, misinformation feeds into all of the major news stories of 2020. They tie into COVID, they tie into the election and voting, they tie into the Black Lives Matter movement. So, you know, like, I think that there's like this, there's been a growing, and this is not new to these movements or these areas. It's like misinformation has really been growing in the American press, especially in the last 30 years, probably with the proliferation of, you know, how should I put this? the proliferation of media that is specifically targeted to counter so-called mainstream media. I'll put it that way. There's a book that really gets at this called The Elements of Journalism by Tom Rosensteel and Bill Kovac. I can send you the name, you know, like the title and authors and all that stuff. But honestly, like, that book was written years and years and years ago, and it's still, you know, well, maybe not that many years ago, but I think it was published, you know, in the early 2000s, and they start talking about the misinformation that comes from, you know, talk radio and all that stuff. And you've seen the proliferation of it through social media, which, you know, I was there. I was a student at Oswego when Facebook began. You know, we were one of the first public colleges to get Facebook. I remember this clearly. I think it was like 2004, the end of 2004, and it was a big deal. And you know, back then the platform was very contained. You know, you couldn't really do a lot. But over the years, we've seen the ways that social media has fed into misinformation. So to me, the discussion over the First Amendment and all these movements and these big news stories is really also a story about misinformation in America and how the press, how we are going to be able to regain the trust of Americans who just flat out don't believe facts anymore, which is like incredibly daunting, incredibly scary, and very worrisome.
And that kind of leads me to my next question, and the idea that, is there a way for journalists to even gain back trust? I mean, we've seen them not only questioned, but also, you know, almost attacked on streets. How does a institution that's been so important kind of reverse the idea that they aren't, or that they're the problem in a democracy? How do you make these changes to get back to the way that it once was thought of, not even as a prestigious, but just respected at this point?
Yeah. I mean, that is like the big question. And I've been watching, you know, there are tons and tons of news organizations trying to, just as there are tons of, I don't even want to call them news organizations, but information organizations, I guess, trying to disseminate false information. There are just as many, well, maybe not as many, but there are many who are trying to counter that. And that goes from the local level all the way up to the national level. I will be honest with you and say I have no clue how we are going to do this as an industry, because this is not just like, you know, oh, let's pass some laws, or you know, let's restrict social media, or, you know, all these other, these little stopgap things that could be done. It's going to take not just the news media, it's going to take and I mean that in the news media, saying like tiny newspapers for, you know, cities of 10,000 people, all the way up to national media, you know, like NBC and others. It's also going to take probably some sort of policy, some sort of legislation. You know, it's going to take the efforts of social media companies like Facebook and Twitter and Reddit and all these other places to tamp down on misinformation. I think that this is also a huge call for civics in American schools. The way that, you know, I mean, I'm not a scholar of academia or, you know, curricula. I have no idea what kids are taught in schools these days, but it does seem like there is a complete lack of understanding the way that facts work, information works, government works. You know, all these things feed into the proliferation of misinformation. So, you know, I think this is a multi-pronged, massive effort that is going to take a lot of conscious work of Americans. I am personally a little pessimistic about it, but, you know, it's like, this is, you know, the ensuring of our democracy and the ensuring of our constitution. So it's gonna it is gonna take a Herculean effort.
Right, definitely, and it's so interesting just to see, because it's sometimes even just hard to have a conversation with someone with that, about media or journalism, without things getting kind of out of whack. And I guess the last question I've been asking pretty much everyone I talk to that's either on the panel or Career Connectors, this question is kind of a, not a big part of the summit itself, but something that really helps the students, is just getting to see these professionals you talked about, the people that you got to see. If you could talk to any student or in media here at Oswego, what's like a small piece of advice you would give to them in ranging from any part of the field, whether it be getting the first job or just journalism technique or tactics or ethics or things that you've picked up?
Oh man, I feel like I have so much more advice now than I did even like a couple years ago. But even then, it's like one of those things where the more you know, the less you know.
Yeah,
if that makes any sense. But I think the big takeaway that I have thought about over the last couple of years, especially when it comes to early career, is that being aware that you're going to suck for a bit, even if you're at the top of your class, you know, and you have like all these amazing college journalism awards and all that stuff. You know, when you get into the real world, you might suck for a bit, but you have to persevere. You got to keep going. You have to keep growing. Journalism, fortunately, is a career where if you are a curious person and you're hungry to keep learning stuff, you will thrive. You know, like that's the great thing, is that we are in a profession where we just can keep learning. So keep an open mind and know that even if you suck now, or you don't feel like you're good enough, or you're getting feedback that your work isn't up to snuff, if you keep working hard and you keep working at it, you know, you will improve over time, and you will outlast people who couldn't stand to hear that their work isn't that good. And, you know, it is kind of like a battle of Darwinism in some sense, you know, journalism, you know, if you can stick around long enough, you end up being kind of good at it.
Thanks for listening. And don't forget to check out these stories and more at our website at oswegonian.com.